Hey, Kyle here. I'm the pastor of Island Pond. I want to thank you for checking out our videos. Whether you're listening by podcast, watching online, or watching on television, my prayer is that God will use this message to bless you, encourage you, and challenge you today. If you want more information about our church, or if you want to watch other messages, you can go to www.islandpondbc.com. If you live in the Hampstead, New Hampshire area, come on out. Right now, our services are at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday morning in Hampstead, New Hampshire. All right, let's go ahead and dive in to the message today. All right, so I talked about just a little bit ago how I was at a pastor's conference. It was the Baptist Convention in New England. Had their annual pastors meeting here, a bunch of pastors from all over New England, and I was one of those here, and Pastor Gary was here as well. But since I was there multiple days, I was back in the sound booth on Friday for over 12 hours, clicking the button, and let me tell you, I'm a pro at it now. But one thing I knew, I knew that I would not be able to put in the time I needed to get the sermon ready for this Sunday. So I wisely planned ahead and planned for Teen Challenge to come this morning. So let me go ahead and introduce them. And they're going to be sharing some testimonies this morning. They were here about 2 years ago. And it was just a powerful, powerful service and message. And so I'm excited to have them here again this morning. So for those of you who don't know, Teen Challenge is a ministry that helps teens and adults that are struggling with addiction in New Hampshire. So they have a powerful live-in rehab facility and probably other things as well that help those that are struggling with addictions. And some of those are here, some of those that are part of that group are here this morning, and they're going to be sharing some testimonies. They go to different churches on each Sunday. And we're so thankful that you all could come and share with us this morning. So I'm going to have Mason coming up. He's the leader of this group. And so you can introduce the rest of them. So let's give a big hand to Mason.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Mason. I'm 23. I've been in the program for about 8 months now. So it's a blessing to be here at Island Pond Baptist Church, and thank you for allowing us all to come out and share with you a testimony and what God is doing in our lives so far. So you're all a huge blessing to us. Like Pastor was saying, we're a 15-month residential drug and alcohol treatment program that brings life-changing hope to addicts and their families. And that life-changing hope is Jesus Christ, and has been proven since the late 1950s. The first Teen Challenge was established by a guy, David Wilkerson, small-town Pennsylvania pastor, who went to Brooklyn, New York. And because of his faithful obedience, we have that 24-bed facility in Manchester. We have 10 locations across New England, 230 roughly in the United States, and about 1,180 different countries worldwide today. It is the only by the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that we are the biggest program of this kind. Through our testimony, you will meet men who have been confronted by fear, who are walking in freedom and living with a purpose. Again, thank you, Pastor and Church, for allowing us to come out. So to share with you guys a little bit about myself, I'm from Tamworth area up near Conway, and I grew up with a great family, when I was a kid, going camping, fishing, hunting with my dad, it was pretty good. But my folks got divorced when I was about 7 or 8 years old. And I still had them both in my life, but it was quite a bit of a change. My mom started working a couple jobs, and she was pretty much an at-home mom before that. So she was real busy. I'd go over to a family friend's house. My mom's girlfriend, they grew up together going to grade school, and I was same age as her youngest, and my brother was the same age as her oldest. So it just kind of worked out well. But they were raised a lot different than I was and my brother was in our house, a lot more relaxed. They're great people, but it was just a whole different environment. His mom smoked cigarettes, and his dad smoked pot. So at an early age, I was around that stuff. And it didn't take long before me and my friend Tyler were, taken from their parents and, off on the weekends, just dabbling a little bit, which then progressed into much further use later on down the road. about seventh grade, I was smoking pot a few times here and there. It wasn't a major thing, but it started me, certainly started me young. And I tried my best to stay away from alcohol. My dad's an alcoholic, and a lot of the problems that were caused in my mom and his relationship were because of the alcohol, of course. And so I tried my best to stay away from that. Growing up, kind of lived that life with over at my friend's house all the time. My mom was hard working. My brother was off with his friends. And I hit 16, and I had much, much more free time. Or I just didn't have to be held as accountable as I would have before, not having to be picked up and dropped off by my mom. And I would just tell her that, I was being good, I was being safe, and I was driving around, smoking with my friends, going to school late, leaving early, and it progressed from there. I've done, from the time 16 to 18, I had done cocaine a few times when it was around. I never really intended when I was a kid to, try drugs like that. But, growing up, I kind of didn't know who I was. I didn't know what my purpose was, what my calling was. And I was in and out of church as a kid, for sure, but I didn't accept the Lord into my life as heavy as I did now. With all the things that have gone on in my life, I realized that God was there the whole time. I just had to turn around and ask him for help. But by 18, I had done heroin. Somebody put a line out, which I thought was cocaine, but it was heroin. And with my, I kind of had an addictive personality because there was like a camaraderie in that type of, I didn't have to fit in with that kind of crowd, which is unfortunate. That's kind of how it goes. And that's not the right way, but I became a heroin addict for about 5 years. And through all that, I've burnt a lot of bridges. Just not being able to have that drive to go to work every day. I've had some great jobs. I've met some great people. And I grew up right. I have some good morals. So I never really burnt a bridge, like, relationship-wise. But, like, as far as keeping the job or keeping the position, it was kind of out of the question sometimes. It wasn't always somebody firing me. It was, like, I left because insecure issues, self-esteem, stuff like that, it would get... I'd get so involved with that other type of lifestyle, selling and just living the shadier lifestyle, that I didn't even want to be around those good people. So in the midst of all that, I've wrecked a lot of vehicles, but the past accident being last February, I got in DUI, and thank God I didn't hurt anybody else. Every time I've ever been in an accident, it was just me involved, and that was through him for sure. I shouldn't be here today with all those wrecks, overdoses a few times, and just living real reckless. I by the grace of God, I'm still here. So that made me turn to wanting to get treatment, and I looked into a few different options. And I looked into this place, His Mansion, which is also faith-based. I went there and checked it out. But it wasn't, something wasn't right. I didn't know what it was. I was willing to put in a little bit of effort at this point. I knew I needed help, but something was off. And then I tried Teen Challenge. I walked through the door there, and it felt like home away from home. Like, all the guys were right in the, on the same level of the building. It's three stories, but everyone was on the first floor. And I couldn't see them yet, but I could hear them all, like, getting along and talking at lunch. And I was in the other room. I was like, this might be all right. So at first, I really signed the paperwork because I knew I was letting my mom down. She couldn't sleep at night. She was always up waiting for that phone call at 2, 3 in the morning, whether it be from me that I was in trouble or be somebody else because I couldn't make a phone call anymore. So I could see it in her eyes. I'm like, I got to make a difference here. So I signed the paperwork, and there I was. And early March, I started my journey in Teen Challenge. And since then, I've accepted the Lord in my life. I surrender to the things that he wants me to do. It's not always easy. You guys know that. But there's peace in that. And peace and joy like that can only come from the Lord. So I'm one of the guys, an answered prayer and a walking testimony to others that need help. When you're feeling hopeless, there is a way out. There's always a way out. And, for us that know the Lord, that's the way out. So I just thank you for listening to me. And I'm going to introduce the rest of my brothers now.
How's everyone doing this morning? We doing good. Is God good today or what? You know what I mean? Can never have enough Jesus in one day. So my name's Andrew. I'm 26 years old. I'm from Laconia, New Hampshire. And I've been at Teen Challenge for a total of 3 months now. And so growing up with me was, you know, not always easy. My mother was disabled, and my father wasn't around, so I was kind of on my own at a young age. I didn't have a lot of guidance. My grandmother, she was my only guidance, and she ended up getting dementia and needed to be put in a nursing home. So with that being said, I was on my own, like I said, at a young age. I didn't have a lot going on, no support. So, of course, I was out, you know, selling drugs at a very young age, just doing anything I could just to keep afloat, keep money in my pocket, you know, clothes for school, etc. And then on, it led to some, it got serious. You know, I wasn't just a pot dealer. I was just doing everything, you know, anything I could. And I later ended up getting into a couple of high-speed chases with the police. They don't really like that. I don't know if I thought I was going to be in the new Fast and Furious movie or what, but it didn't work out. I later ended up crashing a car going about 120 miles an hour. I ended up, you know, I was a believer in God, but the only time I wanted God is when, you know, I needed him at my convenience. So of course, you know, he answered my prayers. And, you know, again, I'm an answered prayer here today. I should have been dead. You know, I remember, you know, the car smashing in around me, and all I can remember thinking was, well, yeah, I'm dead. And sure enough, no, not a bone broken. He left me there today. From then on, you know, I should have just took that as a wake-up call, but of course I didn't. You know, I ended up, you know, I went and did a few years of incarceration because of it. Got out, and sure enough, I'm out running again. The police raided a place I was at. I took off through the woods. It was a cold night. Blizzard going on. It was like negative 10 out. And I was listening to the scanners, you know, I'm on one. And they were like, I hear them calling in fishing games. So I was like, you know what? I got to go through the woods. And sure enough, I'm running through the woods all night. And I'm just praying to God the whole time, like, you please get me through this and don't let these guys catch me. And sure enough, I ended up getting severe frostbite to my hands afterwards the next morning. And I did end up outrunning them, you know, God's grace. But I was supposed to lose my hands. And lo and behold, here my hands are today under God's grace. He blessed me with these hands afterwards. Thankfully, you know, he's just the wonders he's working in my life today are truly remarkable. It's breathtaking, the things he's doing. And I was looking at, slowly afterwards, I was looking at a bid. I was looking at some prison time, and, you know, I didn't have much hope left. I was on my last piece of hope, and, you know, somebody reached out and was like, hey, what about Teen Challenge? And I was like, well, what's that? I have no idea what that is. And sure enough, I was like, you know what, I'll give it a shot. You know, what else do I have to lose? You know, I'm trying to better my life. I could go to prison, you know, just do nothing and get some tattoos and, you know, but that's not going to do me any good in life. So I was like, you know what, I think I should probably try something new. And sure enough, you know, I got accepted, and here I am today. I go in front of churches every week, and it's truly a blessing to be able to give people my testimony and let them know what I've come from and just maybe that there still is hope out there today and that God is real.
Good morning, church. My name's Manny. I'm 23 years old. Been in the program for about a month now. So I was about 2 years old. I was adopted. My biological mother was doing a lot of drugs with me, you know, in her womb, crack cocaine, drinking, pretty much anything you can do. So when she was pregnant with me, you know, she already had 3 boys prior to me, so she definitely didn't want a fourth. So I was up for adoption, never met my biological father. My adoptive parents were great. My adoptive father taught me everything in the book. You know, ride bikes, play football, shoot a basketball, everything. My mother, you know, she, strongest woman I know, never seen her cry, only once maybe. So, you know, they raised me in a church, you know, taught me right from wrong. When I was about 13 years old, I lost my adoptive father, and that was hard. That was the only time I seen my mother cry. So that was hard on us. I was 13, 14 at the time. So that was right when I was going into school. I actually went to Pinkerton down the street in Derry. So before my father passed, you know, he taught me how to play football pretty well. So I was, you know, I was lucky enough to play football there. As a freshman, I made the varsity team. So I was always hanging out with like the older crowd. You know, introduced to, you know, that kind of party lifestyle early in my life. So when I was 14, I was always, you know, hanging out with seniors, going to senior parties, stuff like that. So I was kind of introduced into the party lifestyle early in my life, drinking, smoking weed, doing coke, you know, that kind of deal. You know, throughout my experience there, I didn't take school as serious as I could have. Didn't even take football as serious as I could have. Didn't take sports as serious as I could have. I didn't take anything as serious as I could have. And that kind of led me to, you know, not really do the things I wanted to do after high school. After high school, I went to a junior college as opposed to, you know, other colleges that, you know, kind of reached out to me. BC, Rutgers, Penn State reached out to me. I mean, I had serious opportunities that if I just put my mind to it, I really could have, you know, really had a bigger, better calling. But, you know, I settled. I went to a junior college. And when I was 18 years old, when I went there, I received money at 18 years old. About $20,000, and that was from when my adoptive father passed away. He saved me some money. He left some money for me. So when I got to college, I was, you know, freshman, received about $20,000. Again, hanging out with the older crowd, hanging out with seniors. And, you know, again, just wrapped into that party lifestyle. Blew the $20,000 on cocaine, drinking, partying, didn't take anything serious. Once again, that led to me dropping out. And that was hard. I mean, it was hard on my mom, hard on me. After that, you know, I dropped out and moved back here around, you know, Derry area. And, you know, I was just doing the wrong things. I couldn't hold a job, couldn't do anything, couldn't really put my mind to anything. You know, drugs kind of formed bad habits in my mind that I kind of lost. And I don't know if it was, you know, being born with, you know, cocaine in my system. I don't know if it was my dad passing when I was early. Just regardless, it was just all the wrong things mixed up into one. And it all had an effect on me, negative effect on me. Looking back now, it's, you know, God was with me every step of the way. I mean, it could have been worse. So, you know, as I'm back, you know, I'm doing a lot of drugs still, dropped out college. I'm depressed about that. I'm doing drugs all the time. I'm drinking all the time. I got a couple months ago, I got a phone call from my buddy's mom. She told me that he had passed away from a cocaine overdose, spiked bag. It had fentanyl in it. So you would think that I would want to chill, right? You know, kind of let that stuff go. But no, fell even harder. Fell hard into drugs. Fell hard into drinking alcohol. It was bad, man. It was really bad. And I stumbled across a phone number, and it happened to be Teen Challenge. And I was up in Hampstead at the time, so my service wasn't really that good. And I heard it was a 15 something program, so I just assumed that it was, you know, a 15 week program. But I get in here and they were like 15 months, you know. It's like, oh, 15 months. But, you know, that was just the Lord calling me. And, you know, like I said, he's been with me every step of the way. And, you know, I feel like on the outside I had nothing. I had no confidence even when, You know, I should have confidence, you know, and Teen Challenge kind of taught me that I have Godfidence. You know what I mean? And with Godfidence, you can do anything. And a Teen Challenge taught me basically that, you know, I can, if I counted, you know, if I hand counted all the blessings that I have, I would never stop counting. So, you know, I'm just blessed to truly be here, and I'm thankful that you guys got to hear my story. So thank you.
Hi, my name is Ron. I'm 48 years old. My story starts like this. I grew up in an Italian family, and in the Italian family, we used to always get together. It was always really geared around drinking and having a good time, and it was always, I remember every Sunday, we'd go over to my grandmother's house, and we would watch wrestling. Very big in the Italian family is wrestling on TV. And they would have their shots of drinks, you know, the Zambuca and the coffee. And they'd always be, oh, take a sip. It'll make you a man. It'll make you a man. So I grew up with alcohol being exposed to it very early, thinking that that was what made a man was drinking and being able to, you know, they smoked cigarettes like they were going out of style. And so in that household, you know, I would have a toothache. First thing we go to is my grandmother would say, come over here, I got a shot of whiskey for you. So I'd do a shot of whiskey, the pain would go away, but yet it would come back at some point, you know. But this was at 5 and 6 years old, you know. So I was accustomed to seeing alcohol very regularly in our family. My father, he actually was an alcoholic. Looking back now, I see that he was always drinking. He was a functioning alcoholic, though, because he could work. He was a worker, you know. He always had a good job. My mom and my dad both quit school in the 10th grade, but my father ran some trucks down in the north end of Boston. So he was always, you know, functioning, always had money, so it wasn't really an issue, per se. So the drinking was always continued at our household. It would be extended. My mom, she was an alcoholic. She was really bad, though, so much so that she got kicked out of her house at 16 years old. And she would actually, my sister and I, my sister's a year and a half older than I am, but she would leave us places. She'd leave us at the grocery store. She'd leave us at the neighbor's house. And, you know, there would be never any accountability for us at all. She would be passed out. And my dad and her always had these real big fights, you know, very violent home, Italian family, north end of Boston. You know, so I grew up with violence in my home. I grew up with alcohol in the home, and then the pot came in. I started to get a little older, and I noticed that they were smoking pot, not knowing what it was, but it was quite regular in our family. So my dad and my mom, they got divorced. Me and my mom moved up here to New Hampshire, and we moved to Moultonboro, New Hampshire, where we had a summer house, which is really nice. I mean, there was nobody out there, so, you know, there wasn't a lot of drugs and alcohol or so forth. But I think I always gravitated toward kids that had broken homes. So, you know, they were more, I think that they were exposed to maybe the drinking more so and not so much the drugs. But anytime there was any kind of alcohol around, we would grab it and we would drink it. You know, my dad owned a restaurant in the north end of Boston, too. So I would always go in there and steal bottles of alcohol and bring them back up to New Hampshire to my friends, thinking that was cool. I wasn't a big drinker, per se. I just wanted to do what to fit in, you know, and I think I always wanted to fit in. So whatever was going on, that's what I was doing. As I started to get a little older, we moved from there to Laconia. Now in Laconia, it was a different story. Everybody, all the older kids were in the complex where I was. They were smoking pot and drinking. And I always gravitated towards these older kids. I always felt like, you know, I wanted to be them. So my mom, she still smoked pot, but she was going to AA for drinking. So the drinking started to subside, but I would take her pot out of the refrigerator. She had it in the freezer or the refrigerator, and I would sell it to the guys out back, you know. At 12 years old, I was selling bags of pot to these older kids, and they thought it was awesome, you know, because I didn't know what I was doing. But they accepted me in, and they were always drinking, always smoking. So I started to get into that lifestyle, and it just carried over. In high school, I started to sell drugs. I started to do harder drugs. You know, I wasn't interested in school at all. I was more interested in what was happening after school. So basically, basically, I think that was the start of me really gravitating towards people that were not really going in the right direction. My father passed away at 38 years old in my senior year of high school, and I think that was a major part of me having a downward spiral into drugs and alcohol. I started to gravitate towards anybody that was doing these harder drugs, and I think I was just masking my feelings. I grew up Catholic, so we were always in CCD or we were going to church. You know, they would, my dad and mom, they would force us to go to church because that made a good, that's what you're supposed to do, I guess. But the Lord always had a place in my heart, and I really felt like the Lord really had his hand on me even back then, because all those times that, you know, we should have been lost or have real issues, not being returned to our house, we always made it home safe. God always had his hand on us. And so at that point, I think I really, I started to go to church more. I started to go to, it was a Baptist church, actually, First Baptist in Belmont. One day I was just, I was like had it with drugs and alcohol and just the feeling of loneliness. I was feeling the most lonely I'd ever felt. And I was on the side of the road in my car, and I was just crying uncontrollably. And all of a sudden the Lord said, I want you to drive up to the street, drive up the street. And so I drove up, and it was a First Baptist church. And I went in and I sat in the back, and I really was just, I didn't even know what the pastor was talking about. I was just happy to be there, but I didn't know anybody. And this is in a hometown of mine, you know. So all of a sudden, at the end, he says, if anyone would like to come up and confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, now's the time. And I felt like the Holy Spirit pushed me out of the pew. And I was standing, and I was like, oh, my goodness, like, what am I doing? Everyone turned around and stared at me. So I started walking forward, and I made it almost to the front. But then I sat down. And so the pastor's like, okay, I guess, you know, that's going to be maybe next time. So I was like, I'm going to be the first one out of here, definitely. So as soon as he said the prayer, I turned around and I started walking. And my assistant principal was right in front of me that I had tormented in school. She just, I mean, I was the funny guy, you know, but I took it to a way new level. And I was, first thing I thought is, wow, she hates me. Literally, she hates me. I would hate me. And so she gave me a big hug and kiss, and she said, Ronnie, I'm so happy to see you. And I was like, wow, what is this? Like, this is crazy. And then everyone came over and gave me a hug and shook my hand. And the Lord knew exactly what I needed that day to say, this is your family now. You know, I'm gonna love you, and I'm going to put people in your life that are going to be safe and show you the direction that you should go. So at that point, you know, I thought I was moving in the right direction. But I was always still hanging out with the old friends, and that's the one, number one thing they say to do is get rid of those friends that are doing those things that are bad for you. You know, if you want to change, you've got to change everything. And so I would always fall back into doing the same things that I used to do. I'd rely upon, you know, selling drugs and doing drugs. And then I'd come out for a little bit. The Lord would, like, pick me up and shake me off and say, okay, start again. And then I'd do the same thing again. And it just got to a point where I didn't know what to do. And my mom, she was always talking about Teen Challenge. She had known a guy that was a pastor down in Massachusetts, Teen Challenge guy, Pastor Joel Razakowski. And I started going to church there with her. She had moved back to Massachusetts at that point, so I would come back and see her. And Pastor Joe was just, he was awesome. And the Teen Challenge guys, I got to know them a little bit, and I was like, those guys are doing something awesome. They truly are making a change in their life, and they're able to put down drugs and alcohol, which I really never was able to do for any period of time. So then Teen Challenge came to my church one day and sang, and 5 months later, not knowing I was going to be in Teen Challenge, but the Lord did, and I was in Teen Challenge 5 months later on my 47th birthday, and it was funny because I was in the same Teen Challenge as those guys that I saw 5 months earlier who sang in the choir. And so that's just really a testimony to what God can do. He never gives up on you, and he never gave up on me, and he helped me through just so many difficulties in life. And I'm just honored to be here to be able to maybe encourage someone today to, you know, lay it down at the feet of the cross and come to him. Just give him everything, and he gives you everything when you give it all. Another reason why we come out is to raise funds. Teen Challenge, as maybe some of you know, it's a nonprofit drug and alcohol treatment center. We're faith-based, so we don't receive any of the federal or state assistance. The guys get food stamps, which helps out. But one of the reasons we come out to bring our testimonies is to let people know there are other ways to help financially Teen Challenge. It's called a student sponsorship. And the student sponsorship is $1 a day, $30 a month. And basically, most of the guys who come in have nothing. Everyone seems to be at their rock bottom. They come from jail. They come from the streets. So clothes, we're usually scrambling for clothes, but most of the guys have extra, so we always help a new brother coming in. But the finances are an issue, so basically, this helps offset the cost. It doesn't pay for the whole tuition of Teen Challenge, but it does help offset it. So if you're interested in a sponsorship, just come see myself or one of my brothers at the back of the table, if God puts it on your heart. It certainly does. Teen Challenge gives these guys an opportunity to know who Christ is and to know God and to change their lives. And this is just one of the ways that it helps offset that cost. So if God puts it on your heart, we'll see you. Amen. Thank you. We have a new brother here. He's going to give a little testimony.
Good morning, all. My name is Brian. My case is a little different, though. I'm not a drug addict or an alcoholic. I feel my addiction is like a little worse. Growing up, I had a broken home. I ain't never really had family, and the family I did have kind of just, you know, kicked me to the side like I was a black sheep. You know, it's my fault if I'm kind of shaking. Like, this first time I sat in front of, like, a whole crowd of people and talked. So it's kind of like, it's weird for me. I'm 19. I kind of just always sat in the back, never really, kind of just stuck to myself. I always think inside my head. I don't really talk to too many people. So basically, I hung around with an older crowd, a bunch of, like, a lot of dudes who like to bang, they rep gangs, all that, you know, all that BS. So I kind of thought they were the way to go. They were the cool dudes. I used to go to school, but I never really went to class. I sat in the hallway, and, you know, I was used to selling drugs. That's just kind of what I got it. Like, I was blessed to meet the program through that because I recently got incarcerated for that situation. And after I met my brothers and the situations that they told me about, I used to think, wow, I feel like a bum for what I used to do to the people. I used to hand them bags and, you know, think nothing of it, thinking I'm just getting mine and doing what I got to do. But I realized I was ruining a lot of people's lives. And kind of took me not too like, a little bit over a month to really think, because I used to sit in a cell all day and not talk to nobody. I had faith in God because my family, they all believe in God. My mother, she believed in God. But after she passed away when I was about 7, I really had no one I could feel. Like, I had no one I could feel like I could talk to. My mother, she was my queen. She was my everything. I didn't have a father. When I did see him, me and him get into it. We never really, I don't know. He was just like some bum, in my opinion. So I didn't really like, I don't know. Me and him just never got along. Whenever we did see each other, you know, it was kind of just like a hi, how you doing type deal. We ain't know too much on each other. I moved with my grandmother shortly after. I was about, I don't know, like 16. She was a heavy alcoholic, but she was also a very religious woman. So she'd get drunk and get all in her feelings, and that get me in my feelings. So I used to have to be like, I got to go out for a little while. That's when I used to run into these dudes, and, you know, they showed me some things that weren't good, and I used to think, all right, well, maybe this is the way for me. So basically, you know, I kind of went under their wing, did my thing real quick, and I realized the stuff I was doing and to others and got me into some serious situations, like situations I don't wish against, like, anybody you guys love or any of your kids or none of that. Situations you guys shouldn't even have to go through that I seen when I was younger or any of my brothers. So it was kind of like, I don't know, like, I felt like I needed to change. I needed to fix myself. So when I got picked up, and, you know, I was just kind of sitting myself. My attorney called me. He says, hey, you know, you got a chance. You could sit in jail, rot your life away, or you can come join the program. So I'm sitting there, I'm thinking a program. All right, maybe it's the way to go. At first, I'm not going to lie, I thought, you know, maybe a program is better than jail, period. I wasn't sitting there doing nothing. So I was like, all right. So when I joined the program, I realized there really is good people out there. There's people that want to see you do good. There are people that'll come pursue themselves different. Come shake your hand, say how you doing, this, that, that. Like, I don't know. People that'll really just try and look out for you. You can always see the people that see good in you, and you'll see the people that just want something from you. People that are going to try and eat off you. These, like, my brothers, they're not like that, and I realized that. And this is only my fourth day in, so I figured, you know, I might as well talk in front of you guys, tell you guys my situation. So, yeah, thank you.
You can stay here. All right, before we continue on, so what we've heard some powerful testimonies of God working in their lives, and one of the themes that have come up as we've heard these testimonies is that as you've gotten into the program, you've grown in your relationship with God, and that's helped you to overcome some of the struggles and addictions you've had in your lives. So I'm just curious. I didn't tell them that they were doing this, so we'll see how this goes. Tell me some of the things that you've learned, real briefly, that has helped you in your struggles, some of the spiritual disciplines. Like, what has been the biggest thing that you've learned in the program in terms of, you know, Bible reading or prayer or just community or accountability? What has been the biggest part that's helped you all in your struggles in addiction? So did any of you want to take this?
One of the biggest things I think I've learned is I was always a prayer. I didn't read my Bible as much. I really feel like the Lord was impressing on me, you got to read. You got to read the Word of God. If you want to transform into a man of God, you got to know who God is, and you need to know who He says you are. Because I always thought that I was what I did or what other people always labeled me as. But God's like, no, I'm going to show you who you are in me. And it just changed my perspective. It changed how I walked. It changed how I thought. It changed my love for my fellow man. And I think just learning it's not about me, it's about Him. And when it is about Him, everything works out always. Yeah. So, amen.
One thing that I probably learned is that pain is okay. I used to always think that when I was going through something, when I was going through pain, God wasn't there with me. God wasn't, you know, watching me or taking care of me. I guess it's more so of pain is okay to, you know, to seek love and to have that kind of relationship. I guess I can relate it to like a mother giving birth to a newborn. It's painful. It's very painful. But when that newborn is there in their arms, it's a new relationship and it's powerful at the end of it. So that's probably what I learned from it.
For me, it was definitely giving up every aspect of my life to Him, to God. I'm not holding anything back that's going to hinder a relationship with Him, whether it's positive or negative. He wants us to just put it all at His feet so He can take over and take the wheel. So that was definitely the biggest thing to help me get started in the program and to maintain a healthy relationship with God and keep building that foundation to move on.
One of the a verse that came to mind as they were speaking is from 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, where Paul's calling out to God with his struggles. And I don't think he's talking about addiction in this verse, but he's probably talking about health problems he's having. But I think the principle applies, where God's response to him in verse 9 is, "My grace is sufficient for you." And listen to this, my power is made perfect in weakness. And as I've heard them give their testimony, that just struck me that yeah, they've messed up but as they gave their lives to Jesus Christ, as they gave themselves to Jesus Christ, his power came in and was made perfect in their weaknesses. And church, I want to tell you that the same can be true for each of you. And whether this is alcohol, whether this is drugs, or whether this is insecurities or struggles or whatever it may be, God's power can be made perfect in your weakness. Amen? I want to take a moment now to just pray for these guys. You know, they are living in victory right now, but those of you who just know the nature of addiction know that it's not over yet. The struggle is not over, and things are things are going to continue to pop up for many months and years to come. And we want to pray that God will be with them and just pray for God's blessing upon them. And